This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go.
Right now, the Lord is blessing me. 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 Right now, the Lord is blessing me.
Please join us for a word of prayer.
Awesome God, we come today just worshiping you for who you are and how you are. God, we come praising you and thanking you for being God and God alone. We thank you for being a King of all kings, for being Lord of all lords, for being a God that loves us, a God that protects us, a God that goes to war for us, a God that asks nothing of us but our worship, but our devotion to you, oh God. Teach us how to be your people. Show us how to walk in your ways. Help us, Lord God, to talk like you. Help us to live like you, to love like you, to sacrifice like you, to serve like you. Help us to prove, oh God, that we are your subjects. You are our King. God, we honor you. We adore you. We worship you. We exalt your name. We lift you up, knowing, remembering that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me. Lord God, so we lift your name on high today, trusting you to do the work of healing the lands, of drawing your people back into relationship with you. Bless us to be blessings throughout this world for your name's sake and for your glory. God, forgive us of the ways that we fall short. Forgive us of our sins. God, heal us in every way, mind, body, and spirit. Touch all of those who need the blessing of health and healing from you this day. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you. I hope it's not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. It's me, oh Lord, I'm on my knees, crying out to you.
The Bible says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. Now let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Hear these words from Psalm 138. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and strengthened. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you that you are God and God alone. We praise you because you truly are King of kings and Lord of lords. Use this word today, oh God, to show us how you would have us to worship you, how you would have us to honor your kingship. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Amen. Is This Your King? It is one of the most iconic movie lines from modern cinema. And those of us who love the Black Panther and saw it multiple times can see that moment when Killmonger has nearly destroyed the Black Panther and begins to gloat over him, begins to taunt the people and insinuate that he would be a better leader. Is this your king? Is this who you trust to lead you, to bring you into the promised land, to give you a hope with future? The prophet Samuel wasn't in a fistfight with the children of Israel, but he clearly questioned their choices when they came to him requesting a king. You want a king? That's the kind of life you want to live? You have a covenant relationship, I can hear him reminding them. You have a divine king, a God who promises to be your God and only asks that you be
God's people. You have a covenant, but you want a king? One writer that I love used to say it this way: everyone has to get shot for themselves. What you mean, Pastor? I can tell you, don't go outside right now. There's someone shooting. I can warn you that there's a sniper out, but still, you just might want to see for yourself. Sometimes the wisdom of another just is not good enough. Sometimes you can't take someone else's word for it, so you may choose to get shot for yourself. Friends, the children of Israel couldn't take Samuel's word for it. They wanted a king. They desperately wanted to be like the other nations, so much so they ignored Samuel's warnings. Now, I know we're all good church folk, but I wonder, have you ever wanted something that may not have been something you needed? Have you ever wanted something that may not have been God's will for you, that may not have been God's intended harvest for this season? In other words, it's not to say that you can't ever have the thing, just not now. Like, you can't have watermelon in winter. Well, you can have it, just not the sweet, delicious Hempstead watermelon goodness. Yes, you can have an abundance of apples, but you need to wait until the fall to have that kind of harvest. Have you ever wanted a thing, even begged God for a thing that was not what God had in mind for you? And Lord, help us if that thing was something your neighbor or friend or colleague or relative already had. If you've ever been there, then you understand how the children of Israel were feeling when they asked Samuel for a king so they could be like the other nations. 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, verse 4 tells us, all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, you are old and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us like all the other nations have. In other words, we want to be like everybody else. Why can't I have a house like that? A wife like that, a bank account like that, children like theirs. We want to be like all the other nations. The text says Samuel got upset when they asked for a king, as if they weren't already led by, protected by, provided for by the King of Kings. Samuel thought, man, they got a short memory. Don't they remember the stories of life under a Pharaoh? Don't they remember working from before day in the morning? Don't they remember sacrificing the best of what they had for a Pharaoh, a king? Why in the world would they want a king? Why would they want to go back to the old ways once they've been free, delivered? Why would they want to live less than free, less than an abundant life? As Samuel prayed to the Lord, God told him, don't worry. It's not you they're rejecting. It's not your message they're rejecting. It's me. Verses 7 through 9 say, they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt. In other words, they've always been like this, ungrateful like this, forgetful like this, unfocused like this. They rejected me even while I was rescuing them. And they have been rejecting me until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. Now listen to them, God said. But warn them solemnly how a king will reign. So Samuel told them, a king will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses. A king will make your sons run like animals in front of his chariot. A king will make your children plow his ground and reap his harvest. A king will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. A king will take your land, take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves. A king will take a tenth of your grain. A king, the king you want, will take more than he gives, will take your freedom. And if all that wasn't enough, Samuel should have been able to persuade them when he said, "And you yourselves will become his slaves. And when that day comes, you'll cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." Friends, the text says, after all that, the people refuse to listen. You've met folks who have to find out the hard way. Truth be told, we've been folks who have to find out the hard way. We've been the people who refuse to listen. These folks refused to listen and they said, "No, we want a king." Friends, I wonder if we're listening today. I wonder if we've chosen other kings. Is there anything we're asking for that's not in alignment with God's plan for us? Are there any habits, behaviors, choices that might put us in the line of sin's fire? I wonder, are we listening to the warnings of Samuel today, or are we marching out to get shot for ourselves? We want a king so we can be like all the other nations. I wonder who we are trying to be like today, whose life we covet. What altars we've constructed for all our little idols, what we've allowed to rule and reign in our lives. Is fear our king? Is worry and anxiety? Are we so focused on the future that we leave little time for appreciating the right now? I recently heard someone talking about their tattoo that says, "Happily ever now." We're so used to hearing the phrase "happily ever after," which points us toward the future, which might imply that happiness is for later, joy is for later, and is not available now. It might imply that happiness is for after we do whatever it is we promised to do but haven't done. I wonder if anyone is tired of procrastinating on their peace. If anyone is tired of procrastinating on prosperity, if anyone's tired of putting off joy and fullness of life, if you are, it may be time to consider where our loyalties lie. Do we worship the king or the king's things? Do we allow other things to reign alongside God? Perhaps our negative thoughts about ourselves are given space right next to the good thoughts God has toward us. Perhaps our spiritual nearsightedness gets to guide our steps as often as our God, who is the Alpha and the Omega, who sees the beginning and the end. It's time for a loyalty check. What are we allowing to rule and reign over us? Is it our covenant relationship, or the kings we are exalting for ourselves? It's time to ask, is this your king? Is this what you choose instead of the King David describes in Psalm 138? The psalmist says it this way, "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise." Before the gods, little g gods, implies that the psalmist is writing in a land filled with idols, filled with other gods. He knows what it is to have the voices of heaven and earth in competition with one another. He knows what it is to feel led into temptation and still finds a way to focus on God, still finds a way to prioritize praise. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. Before the trials and tests of the day, I will sing your praise. Before I cry or complain, I will sing your praise. Because you're worthy. The psalmist says, "I praise you because when I called, you answered me and you greatly strengthened me." Because you're worthy, the psalmist says, "I'm not the only one that should praise you." Verse 4 says, "May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May all the kings sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great." For the glory of God is great. May all the kings praise our divine king. Is this your king?
the kind of ruler to whom all other rulers submit, the kind of God to whom all other little g gods bow to. It's time for a loyalty check. The psalmist declares that God has always been faithful. And verse 7 reminds us of this. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. Friends, our earthly kings take more than they give. But our divine king preserves our life. Where does your loyalty lie today? What will you allow to rule and reign in your life? Can you sing as the song says, give me you, everything else can wait? If any of us were asked today, who is your king? Who are you worshiping? I know our natural response would be God. But if someone were to just observe us for a day, a week, a month, who or what would they say? Who or what would they see is our king, based on where we go, based on who we spend our time with? If someone were to log into our banking app or review our statements over the past year or few years, how would the numbers add up? Who or what would they believe is our king, based on the way we spend our money? Is this your king? Your vehicle, your wardrobe, your big screen, your bellies, is this your king? You get the picture. If someone were to examine our calendars or eavesdrop on our conversations, who or what would they conclude is our king? Friends, it's time for a loyalty check, to check our minds, check our hearts, check our spirits. We have a covenant relationship, but are we asking for a king? Are we putting our confidence in anything other than God? That's what 1 Samuel 8 and 20 tells us happened. They wanted a king to govern and to go ahead of them and fight their battles. We have a warrior God, a divine king who fights for us. Have we lost confidence in that God? We have a king who has already defeated sin and death. Have we placed our confidence somewhere else? We have a king that has already guaranteed the victory for us. Have we lost confidence in that God? It's time for a loyalty check. Have you ever wanted something that may not have been something you needed? May not have been God's will for you, may not have been your intended harvest for this season. We have to be careful as we name our heart's desires, because God will permit a thing even if God doesn't approve of it. We see that in the text. The Lord told Samuel, listen to them, give them their king. In other words, he allowed them to be ruled by their desire. God will permit a thing, even if God doesn't approve it. So what is it that we're allowing to rule and reign? It might be our anger or unforgiveness. Is it our judgment or self-righteousness? What is reigning in our lives? Is it our neglect of our discipleship? How do our lives honor the one we say we worship? Who is your king? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.